Blog Talk Radio.
But it's Tuesday. It's the Gridiron Stud Show. It's Emil Calamino and it's Chad Wilson here to recap the weekend and also have our very special weekly guest join us. Warren Sapp will be here with Straight Talk with Warren Sapp. And we'll be doing that and more here over the next hour. Emil, I promise you, Facebook is slowly making me just give up. Give up on life? Just on life. This can't be what's out here. I'm going through my timeline, and here's what I... Oh, dear God. Here's what I've got. I have got... I've got a white grandma. She's got to be on her way to 70.
Right.
Up on the trunk of a car. So hands on the hood. Hands on the top of the car, feet on the trunk, and she's twerking with her skirt up, twerking. She's this dance where you gyrate your hips.
Oh. Well, wait a second.
Oh,
now.
Man, and her skirt's up. Her skirt's up, Emil.
Okay, well, we got to be careful here. We got to be careful because, you know what, you said that like, Saturday night I was watching the games. So I'm going to tie this back to football. It's late. I guess it's 12:30.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's late. It's 12:30, 1 o'clock. I'm watching, you know, Pac-12 after dark. You know me.
Yeah.
So I'm bored a little bit. For some godforsaken reason, we DVR all these Fallon shows. For at least 10 of them are on there at a time. My wife likes Fallon more than I do. He's all right, but, you know, I see Christie Brinkley's on one of the shows. So I say, you know, I want to see what Christie Brinkley looks like coming out on TV because – I was always a big fan. I'm telling you, you can't make this up, and I don't care what people say about work. There's not enough work in the world if you don't have something to work with to make someone look like this. She was 61, and I'm telling you right now, as God is my judge, she looked better than most 35-year-olds, and by a lot.
Yeah, I saw her – what did I see her on? I think recently it was a ESPN 30 for 30. It was a 30 for 30 they did – on Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson. And for some reason, she took photos or was, you know, heavily involved in some way in terms of following both of those boxers, mostly Evander Holyfield. So they interviewed her recently to do this 30 for 30 piece. And I saw her and I was like, this woman has to be in her 60s, just... How does she
well,
look
when
like
you were watching it, she was in her 50s, right? Because you're watching it's going back. But I'm telling you, she came out.
No. This is a 30 for 30 that just aired. So to do it, they had recently interview her about the events that took place back
then. Yeah, she's 61 years old. She was born in 1954. My wife saw her. She watched the show. My wife's like, damn. I mean, people will say, oh, yeah, but she gets plastic. Listen, you don't have something to work with. It's like taking steroids and not lifting weights. Doesn't matter.
Oh,
you know
we've
I mean?
Seen people try to you know, cross
right.
that line with plastic surgery, and it hasn't gone well. So even if
no,
had
I'm telling
done,
you. So you going back to your story, when you say the grandma is 70, well, you got to be careful because I'm telling you, at 70, she's still going to look good. I mean, I've seen Raquel Welch when she
no,
was
no,
70;
no,
she's
no,
pushing 80.
No, Emil, she doesn't look good. Grandma does not. No, she does not look good at all. At all.
Okay.
She has no business. And I don't know how she got up there. She, to tell you how old she looks, I would have to say
she
that
looks 90.
Put her,
is she 70 going
someone
on
someone had to put her up there. She didn't climb up on this thing by herself. She didn't climb up on the back of this car by herself. So that's just to tell you how old she looks. And for God's sakes, I just, man.
Yeah,
my
well,
friend.
Mine's a disaster, too. You don't want to hear about mine, but mine's a disaster. I mean, everybody's is. I mean, these things, You know what's great, too? Now we have the elections coming up next year, right? So now you're going to start getting posts that people don't vet. In other words, they don't just make sure that they're at least partially true from both sides.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you'll get stuff that, like, President Obama is going back to live in Kenya when the term
is
over.
There's nothing more disappointing than social media around election time. There's nothing more.
Or we'll find out whoever the Republican candidate is, he killed his grandmother, or, you know.
Yeah, all kind of nonsense going on. Well, a number of things went on, obviously, during this weekend. We didn't have a show yesterday. I was out and about up in the Northeast, New York, Connecticut area, visiting my daughter who had her senior night. Man, that went by quick, Emil. But good to be back.
When I saw her singing that national anthem on your post from the weekend, I was thinking to myself, man, it just seemed like yesterday. I remember when you were telling me she was going up there.
Yeah, it goes by quick, and any parent out there will tell you it happens fast. So she just had her last regular season home volleyball game, so went up there for senior night, and definitely good to see her mature and grow, and especially and the others that were in her class with her. So I had a good time up there this weekend. So we didn't have a show yesterday. We didn't get a chance to talk about all the things that went down over the weekend in college football. We will certainly do that today. We'll again have our special guest on to help us with these topics. As I'm sure, as he always does, we'll have a very strong opinion one way or the other. What are the things? Well, big game Bob. How about big game Bob? I mean, two things that are away this year is Clemsoning and big game Bob. How about him coming up with a big one? I really didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't either. Well, of course we didn't. We talked about it on the show, and neither one of us saw it coming. But I will say he's got a couple more big games, so give him a chance.
Yeah, and of course, he, like everyone else that's in kind of position right now, they're on TV campaigning because that's what you do when you've got polls. And he's out there saying that if the Sooners win out, they should be in the college football playoff. Do you share that opinion?
Yeah, I don't think he has to worry about it. I don't think he has to worry about it, though, because if you look at the way this is going to shake out well, I certainly would take a potentially two-loss Pac-12 champion over anybody from the Big 12. The committee's not going to do that. So if he wins out, it's going to be the ACC champ, assuming it's Clemson.
Wait a minute. Time out, Homer Jones. Stanford, with two losses. You take them over Oklahoma?
I don't like the Big 12. I told you that.
Northwestern and then a loss to Oregon? You're taking them over Oklahoma?
Oklahoma lost to Texas.
They did lose to Texas. You'll have one booger game.
But I'm saying Stanford is going to have a loss to an 8-2 Northwestern team and a 7-3 Oregon team. We've got an Oklahoma team that lost to a Texas team that can't get out of its own way.
Did Stanford lose that game at home?
They did.
Emil?
I'm not arguing with you.
Emil.
You're going to disagree with me?
Emil, come on.
I'm not a Big 12 guy, but I said it's not going to matter. The committee's going to agree with you, not me. It's not going to matter.
Well, no, I don't know that Oklahoma should be in there, my friend. I don't know that I agree with that, so... Bob
will
do his campaigning,
let's play it out. Let's assume Alabama and Florida go into that game with one loss apiece. The winner of that is in. If Clemson were to win the ACC, they're in. If North Carolina were to upset them, sorry, they're not in. But let's for now assume it's Clemson. The Ohio State-Iowa winner, or Michigan State-Iowa, they're in. Whoever, or Michigan-Iowa. That's another question we have to ask. Is a two-loss Michigan team in? Probably not. So...
No,
Michigan can win out. They're probably not going to
get
in. All right,
so here I've got my trusty little whiteboard. Here's what we go. Clemson beats North Carolina, which now after this weekend, and we got to be cautious about
you know, a blowout win over Miami right now, something we'll get into later
right.
on. You know, but North Carolina, let's put their last two games together. It's funny how the two teams involved in that very controversial game, Duke and Miami, have gotten themselves completely plastered by North Carolina the last 2 weeks. But let's assume Clemson beats North Carolina in what looks like is going to be a very good game. Clemson holds at one. All right. You've got Ohio State, Iowa winner. All right. Let's just, for the sake of it, go with the Vegas.
That's two.
All right. Alabama, Florida winner. That winner's in. I'm
right.
trying to find a way. I'm trying to find a way that wouldn't happen, and I'd have a big
no,
case.
No, they're in. If they're both one-loss teams, they're in. They're in.
Oklahoma State does not lose. How do we keep them out of this four?
You don't. They're in. It's simple. They hop Notre Dame. Notre Dame's out. They're in. If they run the table, go 12-0, and finish the season with wins over Baylor, TCU, and Oklahoma, you're not keeping them out.
Okay. So Notre Dame gets the shaft. Notre Dame. Okay. What was the score of that game? They lost by what? To Clemson on the road.
By two. By two.
Huh? By two.
By two.
They are going to have one hearty argument.
Well, they are, but,
they
you know, the flip side of that argument is they're going to say, well, we played in the rain and we only lost by two and we were coming back. And my flip side of that argument is, yeah, and you had a quarterback throw up a prayer with 40 seconds left against Virginia on the road and won the game. So, I mean, all I'm saying is if a team wins all their games in a major conference, they're in. You don't like it in your Notre Dame, start looking to join a conference. You're playing the ACC in basketball.
Let's play some games, and I guess we'll do this until we hit our break and bring Sap on. But let's play this game. All right. Iowa and Ohio State play in the Big Ten championship game.
Okay.
Iowa wins the game 24-23 on a late field goal.
Okay.
And Florida beats Alabama. Can you drop Ohio State beneath Florida?
I would, yeah.
Your one loss
a better
was in a...
I don't... Listen, Florida plays in a better conference, okay? And I don't care. Anybody want to argue that with me, they can. Come right on, give the show a call. You gave out the number before. Mm-hmm. They play in a better conference. They'll be 12-1. They'll have the same record as Ohio State in a better conference. And they won their conference. Yes. Very simply, they won. I don't care how you lost. You lost.
If Iowa loses, well, yeah. I guess that would be the same story. Okay, Florida beats Alabama, and Notre Dame wins out. How do you put Florida ahead of Notre Dame? Notre Dame's
loss on the road,
2 points to the number one ranked team in the country. Florida's loss would be to LSU, the
care.
Number 17 team.
Get in a conference, Chad. If they were in the ACC, okay, there's a good chance they would have met Clemson again in the ACC championship game, assuming they were on different halves of the division. Get in a conference.
So that should be the message that we're giving out here to the...
You have your own friggin' TV station. I'm sorry. Get in a... Listen, I think Notre Dame's a good team. A couple weeks ago, I said I thought the winner, before Stanford lost, of course, to Oregon, I thought the winner of Notre Dame-Stanford would be one of the four playoff teams. All I'm trying to say is, it's not me being anti-Notre Dame. I've said they've been in the playoff, but you're giving me a scenario where Oklahoma State wins out, or even Oklahoma for that matter. It's hard for me to keep teams that run the table beating three top 15 teams the last 4 weeks of the season out of a playoff when they played in a conference. And you and I have discussed this. Being in a conference is more difficult. The teams know you. They recruit to defeat you. There's a familiarity. Yes, Notre Dame plays a very good schedule, but most of those games, other than the traditional rivalry with USC, and maybe a little more so these days, they're playing Stanford. They used to play Michigan State all the time. There's no familiarity with those teams. So they play them one-offs, you know, two-game series, and they're done.
Right, right.
So you know, you play Texas, you run out there a couple times. That's it. There's
so,
no, like, Texas hate
so
Notre
two,
Dame.
So two messages the committee is going to want to get out here at the end of the year. To Notre Dame, get yourself in a conference. Stop this independent thing, or you're going to have a problem if you lose a game in any season. The second message they're going to want to probably send out, which they sent last year, was, hey, Big 12, get yourself a conference championship game or do some better scheduling out of conference. Is that basically the two messages that are going to be sent out here by this committee?
Well, that would be my, you're asking me. That would be, I can't tell you what they're going to do. They may put Notre Dame in there just from the mere interest factor. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, that wouldn't be above them, and they could make arguments that, hey, they could make all the arguments you made playing devil's advocate and say, we don't really care if Oklahoma or Oklahoma State whines. They could just send out the message, get a championship game. I think that's a hard message to send out when you're putting an independent in there with the same record. Because I'm a big believer, and you've said this to me over the years, one of the toughest things to do in sports is to win road games in college football.
No doubt about it.
Okay, because there's a familiarity. The kids get jacked up. The campus is jacked up at a typical, you know, college setting. You've got a certain, you know. So you see upsets in college football when teams go on the road, where teams that are 3-5, they'll spring the upset. It's tough to win in the conference on the road. Notre Dame doesn't face that. They play a lot of neutral site games, a lot of two-game series home and home. So like I said, other than that traditional game with USC, which they play every year, which is a rivalry, they don't have a lot of, you know, teams recruiting just to beat Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's hard to penalize an Oklahoma State that were to go 12-0 or an Oklahoma that's 11-1 when everything's equal. I mean, to just that's
well,
the way I look
questions,
at it.
Couple of questions here for you. If I were to ask you today, what do you think Notre Dame will win out? What would be your answer to that?
Well, I certainly think they'll beat Boston College this week, although that is a rivalry game over the years, you know, the two Catholic schools, but Boston College has no offense, so I think they'll beat Boston College. I think Stanford's built to play well against Notre Dame. I mean, USC gave them a hell of a time before succumbing in the fourth quarter up there, and that was with the interim coach doing his first game. I think Shaw will have Stanford ready to play. I mean, that loss to Oregon, you know, it was a little bit of a goofy loss. Stanford did things that they were not doing all year. They turned the ball over three times. They just did some screwy things, and still, you know, at the end they could have tied the game. I think they'll beat Notre Dame. I do, at home.
Okay. I think we don't talk enough about Mike Gundy. And in a list that I saw of potential candidates for the open USC job, his name falls on it. What would you think of Mike Gundy as the new head coach of the USC Trojans?
He's done a great job at Oklahoma State. I love him as the Oklahoma State coach.
Is that your answer? Is that your final answer?
He's not for me. I mean, you listen, you're asking me something that I feel like you're baiting me in a debate. You already know I'm not a fan of that style of football. I think you can do nice things at a school like Oklahoma State in a year like this where you catch a few breaks. They've won quite a few games that were very close. The ball's bounced their way, but I just don't think.
Okay, well, let's take a look at Oklahoma State this year. Okay. Here's the point totals they've given up: 13, 8, 14, 27, 34, 26, 10, 53, 29, and 31. Outside of that 53 with Texas Tech, who really just baits you into that.
Yes.
You know, by the way, Oklahoma State scored 70 points in a game.
Yes, they did.
Oklahoma State, in a conference where teams routinely put up, you know, 40, 50, and 60 points, has only allowed one opponent to go over 40 points this year. So, I mean, do you not think that Oklahoma's – I mean, I have noticed over the years Oklahoma State's problem has not really been defense. When they haven't been at the top of this conference is that they haven't generated enough offense.
Every once in a while you say something that makes me think again. And I went back as you were saying that just to say, okay, well, let me look. And you know what? Last year, you're pretty much right. Last year
they played
Florida
defense.
State's first game, 37-23, 13, 35, 20-20. 42, a 34, a 48. They had a little bad streak. A 28. Now, you know what? I mean, it's not horrible. I'd have to think about it a little bit.
While you're there, flip back another year. Go back a couple years. They play defense. It matters to him.
I have to think about it the more you say that. It was a good point you've brought up. I guess my concern is, you know, a couple things. I don't know the personality. Is he a fit out there? I'm not sure. I don't understand, you know.
He's a man. He's 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or older now at this point. But I don't know. I think he is, to me, and
he's
I've been
really
studying.
He's a really good coach. I'm not debating that.
Yeah, Josh Newberg with Rivals. I hope I got that right because, you know, it's almost when you say a guy's from Rivals and he's really from 247, it's like coming down here in Miami and looking at a Cuban and saying that, you know, they're Dominican. You could get your throat slashed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Josh Newberg has a, and I might just post this up, he has a list of all the open jobs and the candidates that he's heard for them. And so for USC, it's Tom Herman, who's on everyone's list, including some open high school jobs and football jobs over in Canada. Chip Kelly, Chris Peterson, Kevin Sumlin, Justin Fuente, who's another person on a lot of lists, and Mike Gundy. And to me, as I'm looking at that Mike Gundy on there, that's an intriguing candidate for the USC job. Really,
he
really
is.
I don't know that they're going to get a pro guy. So I'm intrigued by him as a candidate for the USC job.
Well, I still think, depending on how USC finishes, the guy there might be the guy that gets the job. You know, sometimes the answer sits in front of your face, and you just got to be, you got to have the stones to make the right call. I mean, if he wins the rest of those games, given the circumstances he's been in, if he wins his last two regular season games, there's definitely an edge that USC's recaptured. They run the ball more since he's been the coach.
Mm-hmm.
They're much more physical. The defensive lines come alive. I mean, the last two or three games, they've had like 10 sacks. They've just been looking more and more like you expect USC to look. And I think it's hard if a guy comes in and were to rip off six straight regular season wins, given those circumstances, to not hire him.
I'm not a big fan of interim coach turning into permanent head coach.
I know
just
you're
me.
Not.
Just,
and usually
yeah,
I'm not either.
Big...
But you know, Dabo was an interim coach, and look what's happened with him.
He had he fought through those Clemsoning years, you know, he really did. So, you know, a little testament to and in Clemson, they got more patience than they do in Los Angeles and Miami and New York. So, you know, please think about that part of it. After that West Virginia game that I saw in live and in color down here that year, where I think West Virginia could have scored 90 points in a bowl
game.
Oh,
yeah.
And then the Florida State fiasco. You do that in Los Angeles. You do that in Miami. You do that in New York. The natives get loud, and they stop coming to games. At Clemson, they're going to the game. They're going to the game regardless.
Yeah, they don't
might,
have anything else.
They,
yeah.
It's, yeah, there's a little more patience in those areas. So, yeah, Dabo did work out. He's an outlier. I'm not big and in favor of that. So, I don't know. We'll see where that goes. But you're not the first person, and not the first – for some reason, I'm friends with a lot of USC fans, but you're not the first USC fan that I've spoken to that would be in favor of.
Well, your
know,
father does live in
there.
Los Angeles.
Well, true. Though my dad's not a big USC fan, but
I
yes,
didn't say
I,
that. But it
I
would,
did
it
spend some time out west.
Yes.
It's funny though. The friends that I have that are USC fans are not from Los Angeles. It's funny. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
There you
well,
go.
They cast
a
wide net. I mean, USC is like a Notre Dame or a Texas. They cast a pretty wide net in, you know, their fan base. They play all over the country. They recruit all over the country. So, you know, we have them here in Pennsylvania. I'm not the only one.
Yeah, I'm sure. Let's hop off the gridiron. A big story out of Saturday night, and I did not watch this. And, I have to admit, I've never watched any of her events live. I didn't watch the Ronda Rousey fight. Busy, you know, I'm up in New York vacationing, you know, I'm out and about. And I happened to go on social media and learned from social media that the young lady had been knocked out, soundly defeated. And, of course, you get all of the video. And so I saw, indeed, how she did lose. And she was well beaten, Emil. And I'd been railing on social media about Ronda Rousey leading up to it. Not that I'm against her. Like Ronda Rousey, I love what she's been able to do. I love how hard she works. I love how she prepares for fights. I love the action. I love all that. But it got to the point where there was an extreme amount of saturation, Emil. Everything she said became a quote and a viral quote. Everything. Everything from what she eats to what her thoughts are on sex, every single thing, Ronda. And I just saw the media doing what they always do. They take someone, they will build them up, they will run them up the ladder. When they get to the top of the ladder, they have all types of fun kicking it out from under them. And lo and behold, she believed all that, and you know, built into this whole. You know, when you haven't really dominated your sport, and yes, she was undefeated, but she hadn't really faced everyone. She'd had 9 fights, and you start talking about dabbling into other sports and other things. Your head has gotten too big.
Well, you're on borrowed time. She was on borrowed time. She reminded me a little bit, and I didn't see it coming, and I'm not a big MMA fan, so I'm not going to sit here and pretend I am, but she reminded me a little of the way Tyson's career had been going before Douglas got him and no one saw it coming. Mm-hmm. You know, they start these guys, part of being that's a brutal sport, and I think you've really got to have your head in it all the time. When you start talking about, I'm going to disappear after this fight, well, that gives the you're sending out a message that you feel you're going to win the fight, and then you're going to go, like you said, do other things. And I heard that quote before the fight, you know, I'm going to disappear after this fight. Well, no one says that if they think they might lose, because you're not going to disappear, you're going to want a rematch.
Right, exactly. So, you know, there was talk of being in the WWE or wanting to go box and all this, and Lowen, you know, of course, she loses the fight, and here come the memes, all the pictures, all of the funny videos, and it was just a complete flood of them, and we'll get them for an entire week or 2 weeks or however long it takes before some other major event takes place. And, of course, now we're going to see how the media treats Ronda Rousey. Will everything
But I feel like I'm weird because I don't like the sport.
I'm not into female MMA. Me, you know, no. I mean, she's a major attraction in the sport, so I pay attention to what she does. But, you know, do I know anyone else in the sport? Did I know the lady that beat her?
No.
You know, I follow some.
But I'm not into any of that. I mean, I'll be honest. I'm old school. If I'm going to watch any sport like that, I still prefer, you know, a good boxing match if I can find one where two people will actually fight.
Yeah, that's a big if these days.
That's a big if. To me, like, when I watch that sport, and I've seen them, you know, my son-in-law likes them, so I've watched them at his house and with guys, you know, to me it looks like something I can go to a local bar in a seedy part of town, and around 1 o'clock in the morning someone will hit someone with a bottle and it's on, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, you know, I was saying this the other day, and Floyd fans really hate me for this because, you know, I go in on Floyd. Here's my whole synopsis on Floyd. This is just how I wrap it up. I respect his business acumen. I respect how he positioned himself and manipulated the sport to make the millions that he made. Don't begrudge him for that. I just don't like him in the ring. And if he ever runs around saying he deserves to be mentioned with the Alis in this sport, he's out of his mind. And any of his fans that want to run behind and say that he should be, you're not in reality. He just wasn't that kind of boxer.
But
Floyd Mayweather was the best thing that ever happened to MMA, because when the sport could say this is the best that our sport has to offer, and at some point almost the only thing that our sport has to offer, millions of people said, well, there's got to be more out there, and MMA had to happen to come along, and people, you know, ran to that in bunches.
Oh yeah, for more action. But let me ask you this: the young lady that beat Rousey was a boxer. How do you think she'd do against Mayweather in a boxing match?
Oh, you know, come on, folks. I mean, you're not – you got men can't beat Floyd Mayweather, all right? I hate that argument.
So you're
saying she couldn't catch him.
Are you saying she couldn't catch him?
No, man. Come on. This is man versus woman in the ring with rules. Come on now.
I'm giving you a hard time, man.
I'm not a big fan
of Floyd's style of fighting. I'm just
not
a big fan
of that. There's some people there that I think actually believe that. They actually believe that Ronda Rousey would have a chance in the ring boxing Floyd. Like, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. Look, men can't beat the guy. A woman's not going in there and beating him. And, you know, get off of that. So
we've talked about Floyd on this show before. My problem, I'm like you. I think he's done a great job promoting himself. God bless him. He's made a lot of money. I don't begrudge him that. That's his, you know, he's a professional boxer. He gets paid to box, so I have no problem with that. I just don't care for that style. And I know his apologists will tell me that's because I don't understand boxing, and it's about being defensive and getting guys to miss. Well, you know what? When Ali wanted to, he could get guys to miss too. And then he could also drill them and knock them out, and he'd engage in a fight.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when I see stuff like, Yeah, when I see stuff like, you know, the 30 for 30 with Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran, man, I really miss those days of boxing. I really, really do.
There's
and,
a great
and
example
then I get even
just,
more mad.
You put out there, Ray Leonard. Ray Leonard was as good a defensive fighter when he wanted to be as any fighter that ever stepped in the ring. But Ray
and
Leonard
would
also
action.
Engage. Yes, he
yes.
would bring action.
And would
yes.
bring action and make you say, wow. You'd walk away from a Ray Leonard fight like, wow, I really, really saw something. And I'm yet to have done that with any fight I think I've seen Floyd Mayweather fight. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, Hall of Famer Warren Sapp is here with us, and he's going to go in on a number of things. We'll be back right after this.
Colleges, step up and visit gridironstuds.com today. We got college coaches visiting. We've got people visiting. We've got fans visiting. If you want to be seen, get your video up there right now. It's easy. Create a profile. Takes 2 minutes. Stop playing games. Get off of Facebook. Take control of your future. Gridironstuds.com is where you need to be today. Visit now, set your profile up, and let yourself be seen.
Here on the Gridiron Stud Show. We're back wrapping up the weekend that was. Plenty went on. It seems when I get kind of disconnected from the sports world, either by vacation or whatever else that goes on, a ton of things seem to happen. I don't know if that happens to you, Emil, but listen, our next guest always has very strong opinions on anything that goes down, whether that's sports or anything else, which is why it is always a pleasure to have him on, so we will do that right now. We've been missing you for 2 weeks, man. So much has gone on, Sapp, that, you know, look, we need to do like 4 hours with you. We won't, but happy to have you on the show. What's going on there, big fella?
Always a pleasure, fellas. Good morning.
Good morning, Warren.
Good morning.
Where have you been? Tell us where you've been, first of all. The listeners.
What do you mean, where I've been? I've been nowhere. I went to the Bucks game Sunday. And watch them play buck ball and get them a win against my Dallas Cowboys. You know I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. So
oh, yeah.
It's the one Sunday in my life that I'm torn. I'm like my team versus my team. But, you know, I'm a Buccaneer, you know, for life. And I love my Cowboys. It's a good game, good win. You know, we got a quarterback in Tampa. I will tell you that.
Yeah, he's a good player.
That kid can play, boy. Ooh.
You mean you're not a Raiders fan, man?
No, I'm a Raider by trade.
Hey, well, they're actually on their way to having some kind of a decent year.
No, no, they're doing pretty good. They're doing pretty good over there. I like what Jack got going over there, you know, and with that Ken Norton Jr. on the defensive side. Yeah, they're doing pretty good. I like the quarterback over there, and the receiver's a beast. I mean, but that's a Florida, bro. We already knew that.
Yeah, we know that. Before I let Emil take over here, they call you to be on the search committee yet for the next UM coach?
What'd you say?
Yeah, you've been called?
What?
There's a search party.
There's a search party out there
and a committee.
Well, if there's a search party out there, then I did not get a suit, a uniform, or a seat on the seat, on the boat to go looking for anything. So.
Yeah, well, okay, there's one out
there.
All right,
did you get a call?
Just wanted to clear that.
Did you get a call?
No, man, my phone
has not ringing.
Man, you
got gridiron going on and everything. I mean, come on, man, you got big things going on, baby.
Yeah, I might be too busy. All right, Emil, what are we throwing at my man?
Well, we're going to save that topic for last because I have a feeling you'll have a lot to say about it. So let's start with the NFL and work our way backwards. We got to ask you this question out of the gate.
Hold on, before you go, Emil, I hate to do this, but let's just, you know, one time for France, you know what I'm saying? Everything that's going on over there for the people of
Absolutely.
France. You know, we with them. We stand with them. All right, go ahead, Emil.
Yes, we do. Good point. Thank you for bringing that
up. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, we have to. Yeah, because that definitely happened on the weekend, too. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yes, it did.
You're right.
All right, go ahead, I'm on my
okay, head. Peyton Manning. What happened there Sunday? Every time he throws like four or five interceptions,
stop. There's two things in this world that we know to be undefeated. One on we can't talk about, and the other one is Father Time.
Right out the gate.
Hey, that's what it is. I mean, listen, I said this a couple years ago, sitting on the set. It takes every fiber in his body to throw the ball. And you have to understand something. When you're Peyton Manning and you are the only one that can drive the ship and you, you know, train how you train and you go down there with Cutcliffe and, you know, he got you back after the neck, there's only so many more balls you can throw.
Right. Well, hey, listen. Warren, I'm with you, but every time this happens, the last couple of years, it seems like
it's an injury.
The end result
is another playoff loss, which he has more than any other quarterback in the history of this game. So, I mean, let's add another one if they're going to put him back out there again. Because that's
what's
going to happen.
Let's speak on him now being hurt because he had a bad game. I think that's what
Let's go back to when it was his neck, and he had to do everything within – under God's green earth to get back, and he got back. And he put himself in a position to get to a championship. And then those years are gone. And now every other year he gets a little bit older. And guess what? When you line up at the beginning of a season, it's a marathon.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah,
true.
It's
no doubt about it.
You don't get stronger at the end
down.
Of the marathon.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you, Sap. I appreciate you, Sap, on this day in which Charlie Sheen got on the air on the Today Show today.
That's not winning.
To mildly pointing out to us
that's
the other
winning.
Thing that is, that's undefeated.
No, he's losing.
That's not winning. That's not winning. That's not winning.
No, it's not.
You know what, Warren? I'll tell you that wasn't a hard one to see coming.
When we get off
huh?
the line, because you got it wrong, and then you can talk about it with him more later. But
yeah, sure. I can't wait for that phone conversation.
Charlie Sheen, that's not winning.
No. He said he engaged in no risky behavior. By the way,
listen, no winning.
Please,
no winning.
Please. Does he also have some type of dementia? But yeah,
that's
okay.
Saying, I mean, he's sick. We already knew this, but that's not winning.
What else do we got going on here?
Warren, how does Rob Ryan keep getting jobs? I guess that's my question.
Stop, because you know you're talking to the man who gave Rob Ryan his best defense he's ever coached, number three defense in the National Football League with the number one pass defense in Oakland.
What's his deal? Talk to us.
Listen.
Was he coaching for the wrong team?
I love Robbo. Robbo is one of those coaches who will bend, mold, and shape a defense to the personnel that he has, and you know, and then go at you and tell you to hit it straight ahead, no fat dodge. You know, hit it how you live, hard and fast. I mean, he's a beautiful man, but you know, sometimes when you are part of a cult, because the Ryans are, and he'll tell you this. Mm-hmm. It ain't the name on the front of the jersey. It's the name on the back of the jersey, and it's Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, right. Of course.
Hey, man, if you ever get in an interview with you and you have the personnel to run what he wants to run, I mean, it's some good stuff. But we know the Saints have never been a defensive team to begin with. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the New Orleans Saints. Stop it.
Boy, isn't that hard? Isn't that hard with what they do offensively? Would you agree or
disagree? What's hard?
To be what they want to be defensively. Those things, kind of
no,
two things don't
give me
go
a quarterback that's going to throw for 5,000 yards a season, and I'll show you what to do with it.
Who's
that's
done that,
score,
though?
That's going
Who's
to score
paired?
30. What, they scored 30 points in 30-some straight games or something like that? It was something wild like that?
Right. Tell me the last time you've seen a 5,000-yard passer married with a good defense.
They keep trying to tell you that Denver Broncos was a good defense, right?
Well, they're saying that this year, but Peyton can't throw for $5,000 no more.
No, I mean, it was last year they said it was a good defense too, right?
Oh, they tried, yeah,
They just try to say that one. Now, all right, let's look at another one. Did Eli throw for 5,000 yards up there with the Giants? No, he didn't throw for 5,000.
It was
a rarity. I think it's only, what, 8 5,000-yard seasons, and Drew Brees got 4 of them or something like that? It's 9 of them or something
Let me step in and moderate here. I think what Warren's saying, Chad, is that you're always ahead if you're playing for the Saints when
Thank
they run
Thank you, those. And you get to rush the pass. You're talking about a man with 100 sacks and a QB kill on the phone. Give me a quarterback that can score almost every time he touched the ball, and I'll play with that every day of the week. But it's a different NFL now. I keep trying to. I play buck ball, and then I got a reminder of it suddenly. It was 10-6, man. It was, I loved it.
Yeah, well, see,
you were probably the only guy in that stadium that loved it.
It was better than the 42-14 game I went week one, and whatever the hell it was when it was Mike Allstott day. Oh, it was bad those 2 days. I don't like to see 30-40 points on the scoreboard, and the other team's got it. That's not cute.
No.
True. But I've been on this crusade of. These 5,000-yard passers got to throw 600 passes a year, and that's no good for the defense because you're on the field too much. And it's hard for you to hold
teams down.
You
know what? You say that because you're out there on that island. And when you're out there on that island, it only takes one lapse of, oh, I saw something, or, I understand.
And then big plays, right? Big plays.
I understand.
You're giving up big
plays.
Trust me.
I watch it every Sunday. When you're looking at Eli Manning throw it up and it's 87 yards on a Bill Belichick coach defense, you're like, you got to be kidding me.
Right.
And then but then you get to the end of the ball game, and this is the thing that drives me crazy more than anything. It's the clock management that goes on every Sunday.
Oh, it's been bad, and it's so elementary.
Oh, I mean, it's like I know y'all not practicing and hitting nobody or going over anything, but at least let's go over the clock.
So why can't you do that? Yeah, why can't you do that?
No, that's a good point. It's bad.
Awful.
And
right
the Giants
now.
Are the biggest offenders.
Oh, 16 seconds you run off the – are you kidding me?
Yeah, they're bad with that. They just
That's how you lose. And the play clock is 40 seconds when it's under 2 minutes. 40.
Yep.
Yeah, well
– that shouldn't happen.
I got to take you back to what you said, though, about buckball, because this is a question about today's NFL. You have to admit, when you played for the Bucs on that great defense, you guys won a Super Bowl – the league rules, even though they were tough, were nowhere near.
They allowed it. They allowed us to control the middle of the field. We control the middle of the field. No doubt about it. John Lynch.
Yeah. Now today,
you can't
touch
these
guys.
You can't do it anymore. There's no bang in the eight no more. It's just an eight. It's just a skinny coat. That used to be the bag eight because it was a bag at the end of it. Yeah. I used to hear the receiver coach, get big. It's gonna be a hit in there. Get big. Man, that's not happening anymore. Ain't no hit going on in there.
And they've been protecting quarterbacks for 20 years, but still, you guys could still get a couple more hits on a quarterback than they can today.
You can still put an assault on him. You can make him shake in his boots in that pocket if he wasn't comfortable. Yeah, you could still do that. I mean, you could still do that.
Hey,
now.
I'm watching Aaron Rodgers getting very shaking in his boots and being very uncomfortable.
All right. I was out too, and my travels and a little bit of the kids, a senior year in high school and everything take me away from football too. So. What the hell was going on Sunday when he was talking about he heard something during a moment of silence or something that drug on all the way to after the game? What was that?
Someone, I think, and Emil may know more on this. Someone in an Aaron Rodgers jersey yelled out something. What do you know?
He had an Aaron Rodgers jersey on. That was the thing.
I believe
pre-game,
so, yes.
Pre-game, they had the moment of silence, obviously, for our friends in France.
Yeah,
that's
uh-huh.
What happened. And somebody yelled out something, shoot all the Muslims or something like that, something to that effect. Mm. And, Rodgers went into it after the game that he was disappointed and whatnot.
Okay.
Surprised it stuck with him the whole game. I have a question about Rodgers, actually, and to your point about assaulting the quarterback. I saw a play on Sunday that drives me nuts. They're playing the Lions, end of the game. Kid from the Lions, and I forget which one it was. I want to say 94. Anyway, he gets blocked to the ground.
Oh, yeah. When he hit him down low. I tweeted
him
that. When
how
I was
does
like,
he tackle him,
Blue's
then,
Warren? Blue's got to be changed. I mean, where is he supposed to go at that point?
Right. That's my point. Yeah. Where is he going to go? He's on the ground.
Got to hit him in the gut, I guess.
Listen, you can't hit him at the gut at that point, Chad. You're on your way down. There's nothing to hold you up.
Yeah. Well, they went to
the
middle.
No, the only other shot
was
punching
him
in the balls or something.
Listen, there's nothing. Emma. No, brother. No. And at the bottom of the pile, none of that goes on, and the eye gouging, none of that goes on either. that drives me crazy with these fantasies of what goes on at the bottom of a pile. Where after the football, and it's an oblong shaped ball, and it bounces funny. And sometimes when you're laying on it, you really don't have a good handle on it.
Right. Exactly.
Now, do you agree with me that that call was
awful. That was awful. We got it. Yeah. But now we're about to do something that really, really, really gets to be troubling. And that's asking the referee or the umpire who's in the back there to judge if he can see if the guy, you know, had no other place to go. Because he, Ziggy Ansah definitely had no other place to go. I mean, no other place
no.
to go. I mean, if the quarterback is down and he's hurt, we got to cart him off, then give him a penalty because now they're missing their starting quarterback. But if he gets up, go to the sideline, go talk to the quarterback, and I mean, go talk to his offensive coordinator, come back in the game, no harm, no foul.
That's how I saw it, too. And
no harm,
you know,
no foul. I mean, because, I mean, he ain't hurt. I mean, and there was no place else for the man to go. I mean, you don't aim at the quarterback's knees. Trust me, we don't. I mean, you want to hit him square in between that one and that two and let him go oof on his way down.
Huh. And I always felt like most NFL players understand that, you know, it's a guy's livelihood and the vast majority of you guys.
Okay, but we're talking about people who are moonlighting on Sunday, who are dentists and insurance salesmen and different things like that. I mean, that's the whole point. We're not talking about an athlete who understands that when you're being blocked and your feet come out from underneath you and you're trying to rush. And trust me, we're asking someone.
We got guys repping games that are really, really against violence.
Listen, man, it's a game of inches, and they're giving away yards every Sunday. So trust me, I go crazy with the marking of the football and all kind of other foolishness that go on. So don't get me started. So trust me, I like the rule where it is because we don't have 32 good quarterbacks. You see what I'm saying?
No, listen, we're Cowboys fans, Warren. We understand that.
Man, did you feel this way, though, when you were playing? I mean,
they had it right at the end of mine. Right at the end of mine was the you can't hit them
right,
blow
when
away.
Tom lost the year. When he lost the year.
Yeah, that was like 05, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's Castle. Yeah, 05. Yeah.
Well, plus,
yeah,
it's not good. Listen,
the
NFL's
but that
business.
One right there was the safety coming on a blitz, and, you know, he was one of them, I'm going to knock you out guys, too. So that's the whole point, you know? That's the scary part, that when it's one of those I'll knock you out guys that actually hit one of the guys and knock him out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
well,
he got
the
like
NFL's
three
a business.
He got like three Patriots.
Listen, you guys are fans. It's bad for business when Ben Roethlisberger and Tony Romo's
it's
not playing.
It's bad for the players. I mean, because you don't – I never played the game with any malice in my heart like I'm going to knock somebody out. No. I want to put a good hit on him. I don't never want the starting quarterback out of the game because once the backup comes in, it's a damn 9-on-7 irky jerky game and shit. I play action and boots and all that. No, I want a regular game. Let's play.
I like your
attitude.
That I agree with. Yeah,
no, because it's much
more
fun to put Brett Favre on your wall than it is Hasselbeck. That just ain't cute on your resume. Hasselbeck,
right.
Daddy.
Listen, one more NFL question, Warren, and then we're going to move to our favorite topic here, which we need to ask you about. Last NFL question. You were there Sunday. Help me here as a Cowboy fan and an NFL fan. What do the Cowboys do with Greg Hardy? Because he seems like a real malcontent.
Really? What did he do?
Well, I mean, he's always going off on somebody. I read this week that he missed a couple of meetings late. One, basically, didn't show up for it. At what point do the Cowboys say this guy might not be worth the trouble?
Whatever the Cowboys decide that. Because the thing I saw Sunday that kind of, you know, like took me away from it, because I used to go in the stadiums and get that boo and whatever. I mean, at one point, you know, my fans in Tampa, I mean, was, you know, chanting, Hardy sucks, Hardy. And I'm like, I got goosebumps. I'm like, I'd make every play. I see just how intense you are about this booing with me, but I didn't see that from him. I think he's like, it's a character that he's playing right now, because being late to work and all that. Now that's a whole different animal. Once you start, you know, actually playing with my money.
Right.
When you late and you ain't in the spot, now we got to put somebody who can't play like you in this situation. Now we mixing and matching and losing 7 in a row. Now it's getting ugly. Now it's finna get to a real boiling point with me, because either do it our way or get the hell from around us. That's just period and point blank. I mean, I don't mind whatever you do on your off season or whatever, but when you in this building and you wear these colors, we do it this way. And that now, once you cross those lines, now you've crossed it with me.
I guess before I ever got to speak to you and meet you, you know, having watched you as a fan, the one thing I watched a player like you, and I said, listen, if you ask me one thing about Warren Sapp, that guy brought it, okay? You know, the thing that concerns me with Hardy I see him play against the terrible Seattle Seahawks defensive line. Then he goes against the Eagles, have their right tackle at left tackle, their whole line's jumbled, Peters is out. And frankly, aside from a flash play here and there, I'm not seeing the guy really dominate the game like I would expect a guy of his caliber to dominate a game.
What's his caliber? I mean, whatever they were talking about, I always thought Johnson was the better pass rusher in Carolina. And then all of a sudden this guy shows up, and I was like, oh, okay, I see what they're talking about. But then now when you are the guy and you're asked to go lead a ball club, that's different.
Right.
It's different.
Yep.
It's different when you're a passenger in the car. When you're a passenger in the car, you just put your seatbelt on. Oh, you ain't got to put your seatbelt on and drive the driver crazy with the bing, bing, bing going on. And you can be in there just acting crazy and wild or not. You ain't really got to pay attention.
Well, we know about that. Yeah.
Hey, but when you get in the driver's seat, now you got to know what these handles and levers and, you know.
Right.
You got to know how to drive this thing. That's different because whenever you walk, I promise you this. Whenever you go to another football team and you walk in there with a contract or whatever it is, everybody look at you and say, let me see it.
Right.
I want to see it.
So wait, translate this for me. You feel watching film as a guy who understands this, that probably the better pure pass rusher in Carolina was Johnson. So Hardy probably got the benefit of obviously playing on the same line with Johnson. Now he goes to Dallas and you're saying, hey, you're the lead dog, and maybe he's not the lead dog.
Hey, and he missed, what, the first 4 weeks?
Yeah, but his best game was the first game back.
Missed the first 4 weeks.
Well,
Nothing, nothing prepares you for football but football, and Chad can tell you this. Nobody practices anymore.
Right.
When you're talking about actually going out and playing in the game, I mean, it's a whole different animal. When that national anthem go off, I still get chill bumps. I'm ready to roll. You know what I'm saying? So I can imagine if you're actually going and then you get to going, hey, trust me.
Right.
You can go over that. You go over the top of that hill real fast and find yourself.
Well,
it can be a long afternoon. Trust me, but
I never
considered him the game changer like that. I never checked him off like a guy on Sunday. Hey, circle him up. You know, that wasn't the guy I was looking for.
Okay, well, that's basically what I was looking for, because that's kind of my feeling, having watched him now for a few weeks as a Cowboy fan. I'm saying, yeah, is he a good piece on it? If you had a really good team,
you've seen pass rushers. You've seen Haley down there. You've seen Big Let down there wheeling and dealing. You've seen Russell Mallon down there like a bowling ball of butcher knives. You've seen some pass rushers. Randy White, come on. You've seen pass rushers in Cowboy.
He's
land.
Not
I mean,
that.
No, he ain't none of that. None of those and none of that. And then when you're talking about the distraction and everything, you know, because I talked to, some of my people down there in Cowboy Land, it bothered him, I mean, because when the world is focused on you and something like that, you don't sleep good.
I have a feeling it'll be a short honeymoon there, and
because the Cowboy, you can't put no tarnish on that star. Trust me.
No.
Yeah.
You can't put no dirt on that star. We like real stars in Cowboy Land. Trust me. I don't expect to see him back. Go ahead.
No. Nah. Okay, now, I can't let you go. The fans, if I let you go without asking you this question, and I'm. What happened? I mean, what's happening? Saturday's game with Miami, I figured maybe they'd show some fight. They did the last couple weeks. They were down 45-0 again.
Two games in one season, we gave up over 55 points. What the hell is going on?
Hey, man, I turned it off after it was like 17. I just can't. I can't. I can't. I couldn't.
Yeah, well.
I couldn't. Fortunately
for me, I wasn't able to. So,
sometimes the travel do save you from the anguish.
Yes, it
and
does.
I was sitting there, and then my man flipped over to the Indiana Michigan game or whatever that was. That was a pretty good game right there going on. Mm-hmm. Something else that was going on. I'm like, just don't go back to the Miami game, man, please. And then you just kept seeing the scoreboard.
There's an interim coach now. There's an interim coach now.
Really?
What do you think happened there?
But there's not
there?
An interim. There's not an interim system.
So yeah, it's
when your system and what you've implemented don't work, and then they fire the head of this. What are they gonna go to?
What? But time out. Are you saying the 58-0 by Clemson was about the system, or that players just said, hey, F it on that day? Are you saying Clemson's 58 points better than Miami, so run it over to North Carolina? Now North Carolina is worthy of putting up 59 points because the system ain't right? Something more than that happened there to me.
Chad, do you watch us play the options? Emma, tell him about us playing the options. I watched the quarterback.
I've seen it. You're talking to a guy that
go four plays in a row, and the only time we hit him was when he was out of bounds. I watched the quarterback run the option.
I promise you, you're going to make me pour something right now.
Listen, I'm sitting here watching the drive, and the quarterback is running this option, and the only time we hit him, he was out of bounds.
I know it.
You're right.
You're talking to someone that coordinates defenses now. I mean, look, it's ugly to watch. And in high school, these very basic things would be done.
Ugly.
And they're not happening.
Man,
I'm
watching nobody.
Points,
I mean, first of all, we couldn't find the pitch man in the Florida State game. Now we can't find the quarterback. Now we can't find the quarterback. In the Clemson game, we couldn't find the pitch man or the quarterback. Now we figured out, let's go to the pitch man because that's the guy that's swinging out wide. We all can see him, right? So now we all run to the pitch man, and the quarterback just turns the corner and takes off. Hey, what?
But 59 points?
Hey, man. When you don't want to hit a quarterback that is willing to run, 59 is a good day. It looked like 70 was gonna go up, dog. It wasn't, man. The quarterback ran in the end zone, put the U up, and then did almost a suck it on us. I mean, it was bad.
Listen, I'm a college football fan first and foremost.
That's the drive when they hit him out of bounds. Yeah, that's the drive right there. That's when I stopped watching. I said, you know what? They're going to disrespect us up there at a basketball school. I'm going to turn this off because I broke somebody's TV. You know what I'm saying? Not paying for a TV this Saturday.
It kills me to see Miami like this because I'm a college football fan. I want Miami to be good.
I'm a king. I bleed on
you. I know. Both of you are.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I know you guys. I know you guys are in pain because you played there.
It hurts
there.
Don't worry, fellas. Hey,
it hurts the most that the biggest problem is defense.
There's a search firm out. Don't worry. There's a search firm out.
Well, okay. Give us your thoughts on that. Because, before you say anything,
I am not
ever in favor of, and you might disagree with this, I am never, ever in favor of players picking a coach. Never in favor of it.
Oh, you're on the record, sir. Duly noted.
I am on the record.
Now, I will continue
Mark
with this. First of all, you can't ask me about a search firm in which I don't know who's in the firm. Because if you tell me.
I'll give you two names. Can I give you two names?
Oh, come on with it, then.
One is Jonathan Vilma, and you know what? The other name, there's a player, and Vinny Testaverde.
Vinny had been at the University of Miami in 30 years. Does he have anything to do with his son? Does this have anything to do with his son? Because I would say he has a conflict of interest.
I would definitely say that. But
that's the first thing I would say.
While we're on the phone here, I'm going to try and find the other name.
Did you see Vinny when you was at Miami?
Not in any of my days there.
Not me either.
I saw Michael and a whole bunch of others. No Vinny.
I ain't never seen Vinny. I don't think Vinny been around the University of Miami since he left in 84. What's that, 30 years?
Yeah. Well, and then we got Board of Trustees.
I don't know who the Board of Trustees. And then I'm reading the Jackson in the paper talking about some contributions from one, Golden Kane or executive member, whoever. I'm like, but what about the $12 million that Damari gave up and put his son as the coach in waiting in the baseball facility? And the only way Jim Morris found out about it was reading the Herald.
Wow.
I mean, we're going to do this. Let's just put everything on the table. If we're going to do this, Jackson. I mean, if we're going to be an investigative reporter, let's put it all on the table then. If we're going to talk about whose money, where, and when, and how, let's put it all on the table. Let's do this.
First of all, are you in favor of search committees?
You know what? It depends on what the search committee is and who's searching.
Mm. Okay, who would you say would need to be on a search committee? Who should it be comprised of?
I take one player on the committee, and that one player could be the voice of all of the voices that are underneath him. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the guy y'all vented to, and it's got to be somebody that's scoring some points because I don't know what you're watching on Saturday afternoon, but I'm looking at this Big 12, and they are scoring a hell of a lot of points. If you losing every week 48 to 51, I don't think nobody be calling for your job. They'd be like, hey, man, we just need one stop.
But could it be fool's goal? Because Amo and I don't like
fool,
Big 12.
I don't know about fool's goal, but I would definitely go with an offensive-minded coach. That's why I go with the Chud or Randy thing. I mean, Mario for me. Chud or Mario for me because, I mean – And they're one of the inmates. I love one of the inmates to run the asylum. I mean, you got to know what Miami is about. I mean, when you come from Happy Valley and you talking about a creamery, that has nothing to do with Miami. I mean, nothing.
Do we not need to get back to our defensive roots or not so
much? I mean, first and foremost, if we ain't playing 4-3, don't bring nobody in here with no 3-3-5 or none of this hybrid whatever the hell they want to call it. 4-3 and let the horses up front pull the wagon, please.
Yes, and we definitely agree on that. Got to get back to
please.
It. You gotta,
please. I mean, Coverville beat us with it. Florida playing it. LSU playing it. What do you think Ogeron down there playing at LSU?
Yes, I know it. Yeah, absolutely.
You think
you know anything
about
Cage,
too?
You got to have defense, man. You remember the saying we used to have, that which had a cuss word in it, so we can't say it. But you got to stop a you-know-what. And if we ain't doing that, what do we have? So I think first and foremost we need that.
Hey, listen,
I'll tell him about it later.
My 17-year-old can turn around and hand it off. I mean, if you ain't going to stop nobody from running the ball and you don't want to hit the quarterback, I don't get it.
No doubt about it. Hey, well, that wraps this whole thing in a bow.
Listen, let's just say this off the top. Let's not do this Butch Davis thing because Butch Davis still think Trick Daddy's hot. And I love Trick to death, but, you know, I love Trick to death. Maurice Young is my man, but Trick Daddy's not hot, Butch.
The Butch Davis thing is just people, everybody, whenever this happens to any school or program, whether it's the NFL, college, they dream about going back to a time and place when they were dominant, and then they say,
Butch won the championship in what year?
Yeah, I know it.
One or what was it?
Can we give him some credit for 2001?
No, I asked the question. Butch won a championship in what year?
He didn't win the championship. He left after they finished number two.
Butch went to the championship game what year? Because the year he got there, we had just left a championship game. So I don't know what he was rebuilding. I know I left and Pat Riley left, but Kennard, Kenny, Ray Lewis, and a host of other ones were still there. I mean, you didn't have a first-year starting quarterback in Ryan Collins either. So I don't know what he was rebuilding. Maybe he was learning how to coach or be a head coach because that was his first time doing it.
The last time, Warren, I remember a school of Miami's ilk, a team that's won championships, go back to a coach, try to do that. I remember USC tried it with John Robinson in the early 90s, and that didn't work out too well.
Typically doesn't. You can't rewind the clock 20 years and say, nah, I mean, come on, man, stop it. Trick Daddy not hot. That's all I can tell you. You still think Trick Daddy hot. You can't walk in the kids' living room talking about, hey, you heard Trick's new album? Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
I think all three of
coach,
us agree on
that. Nah, coach,
agree
I haven't. Have you seen Drake, coach? Who?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
my goodness.
Boy.
Yeah, well, we all agree on that one.
When
that
high line bling, that can only mean one thing.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. I think we'll leave it at that, man. Listen, 2 weeks was too long, man. So glad to have you back on.
Hey, man, it's always a pleasure, brother, to sit around and talk some football with some good men on a good Tuesday afternoon. And it's always the Gridiron Studs. Hey!
Yes, man.
Thanks for coming on, Warren.
Thanks for coming on, man.
No problem.
All right. Take care. All right. We
got
to take a break.
He's got a career
as
a stand-up. I'm telling you. That guy could be a stand-up comedian.
Definitely. All right. We got to take a quick break. Get a glass of water here. I know Sap needs to probably drink something. We'll take a break and come back and finish up the Gridiron Stud Show right after this.
To all you high school recruits out there, you want to get recruited by the colleges? Step up and visit GridironStuds.com today. We got college coaches visiting. We've got people visiting. We've got fans visiting. If you want to be seen, get your video up there right now. It's easy. Create a profile. Takes 2 minutes. Stop playing games. Get off of Facebook. Take control of your future. GridironStuds.com is where you need to be today. Visit now, set your profile up, and let yourself be seen.
All right, we're back after the quick break here on the Gridiron Stud Show. Listen, there was plenty of NFL and college football action this weekend that we need to certainly get into and wrap up, and there were some things called the picks that we made, if you could call it that. Couldn't pick your nose with those things we put out this week, but never
mind. Wait a second. Time out. Speak for yourself.
Yeah, it's true. I'm talking about me specifically. I let you back in the race. I don't know how that happened.
You did.
I really did let you back in. Had that nice little lead. Here I was running away with this thing and stubbed my toe in a big, big way. I took a collar.
My friend, I'm thinking we should outlaw NFL picks on the show this year because I'm not sure anybody can pick the NFL anymore.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what? Before we jump into all that, our man Saf's back. He has one more thing he needs to let us know. Hold on.
Emo.
Would you forget?
Emo, I wanted that list of teams that I told you before Thanksgiving. I know one is Atlanta, and they've lost three in a row. Who was the other teams that you had that list? Remember I told you to save that list for me?
Oh,
yeah.
I don't have that list.
See, you got to go back.
I do remember Atlanta, though, because you were very.
Yeah, I remember Atlanta, but you got to go back in the shows, and you got to get that list. Come trust
the
me.
The Jets,
I
that we
you.
Talked about the Jets.
Oh, that's another one.
Right.
Give me the other one. Yeah, it was the Jets. Yeah.
We did mention the Bengals. They were out to a good start.
See, they just did what they did on Monday night. Give me who else we had.
Wait. You want to do a list? Listen, we do lists here all the time on the Gridiron Stud Show. So I got a list for you. I've been meaning to ask you this for weeks.
Weeks.
So just bear with me. Before games, I go to an NFL game. I see you guys on the field. It doesn't look like you're doing much of anything other than making plans for, you know, the off season or whatever. Do you ever check out the other team's cheerleaders or your own?
Are you kidding me?
I'm dead serious.
Listen, there's two things that must be done every Sunday. A cheerleader check and whatever
okay.
That hide the helmet game is. I always play that on the Jumbotron.
Okay. Well, then here's the list, Warren. I have my own. Okay, I have my own, but you were on the field, so I'm going to take your list over mine. Here's my rankings for the five best cheerleading squads that I've seen. Okay, I like what you got going on down in Tampa. By putting them at five, and you're going to see why. Four, I'm going to put the Chargerettes, or whatever they call themselves, out in San Diego. They always seem to be strong. Three, I like the Dolphins cheerleaders. Two, and you play for two teams on this list, by the way. Congratulations. I've got the Raiders at number two. And because they are the original cheerleaders, I'm putting the Cowboys at number one. Give me your top five.
First, all right, in no particular order, because I was writing them down as you was just saying that.
Okay.
The first ladies in D.C., the flight crew in New York, the Jets, that's what they call there, the flight crew.
Okay.
Philly, I'm telling you, they're coming from cheerleaders or whatever the spot is over there. The Raiders, the Cowboys, and an honorable mention is the Dolphins, because you know South Florida just got some lovely things, and you know Jason Rosenhaus
okay.
has his own.
So
lady,
I've
his
only
wife
got
is
two of the top.
I got six.
Yes.
I've only got two of Chad of three. I've got three of Sapp's top six.
Yeah, you got them, but you got. I'm telling you, because when you come out of the locker room in D.C., they're standing there.
Now, did that bother? Did that ever?
Do you hear the passion?
Tunnel.
Do you hear
they
the passion in his voice
tunnel.
When he says that?
They lined the visitors' tunnel, Emil, in D.C.
Did that
cheering.
Ever throw you off for the first series, Warren? Like, I mean, eventually you get hit in the mouth and you're okay.
It's just that quick Not break from reality. It's just a little quick break from reality. Because trust me, when you come out of there and you done fired up that smelly sauce and slapped the emblem on the way out the door, and you coming up out of there and you try to get, you know, you snorting and you all of a sudden you look up, you're like, whoa, all right then.
You mean that hair and perfume? That hair and perfume doesn't kind of...
Trust me. After you put that ammonia up your nose, you don't smell no perfume, Emil. Trust me, my brother. you try to get your brain cells back in order right now at this point, man. I'm telling you, that little break from reality right there is really good at that moment because you really don't expect it. You really don't.
You know what?
Walk out, and they're just standing there like statues. You're like, holy thanks.
And you know what? I knew, Warren. I knew deep down that you checked out the cheerleaders. I told Chad. I said, he definitely has a list.
What?
I said, he has a list.
Come on.
There you go.
You know what? Except in Green Bay. There's a band in Green Bay, buddy, for you, Emil. That's all
good,
they got.
Yeah, yeah, I've been to Lambeau Field, and trust me, yes, it's too cold for cheerleaders.
They do it in Cincinnati. They get cold. The refrigerator bowl was played in Cincy, so I mean,
that's true.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they get cold.
Oh,
too,
good to have that. Well, you know,
I love you.
Sap,
get that list for me, and I know it's Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely go back.
Cincy too, because we know Cincy ain't going nowhere. I don't care what the red-headed rifle.
He's mad at J.J. Watt, by the way, because J.J. said they wanted to turn him into a red-headed BB gun, and Andy didn't like that.
Yeah, but when you score 6 points, what are you going to say, red-headed BB gun?
God, that's ugly. At home, too. At home.
At the house,
guys.
On Monday Night Football.
Yeah, nothing you can say about that.
Y'all
all right, man, we'll talk later.
I'm sorry. All right, love y'all.
All right, no problem.
Bye, Sam.
All right, well, there you go. You got your cheerleader ranking.
See, I knew you were like, oh, I'm not sure. Listen, I know Warren had a list. Come on, these guys, before the game, let's face it, you're out there, you're stretching, whatever. You're telling me you're not looking at that. Any red-blooded male is taking a look around that stadium and checking that out.
Yeah, well, apparently he did. Good enough to rank them for you, so how about that? Because we're all about lists here on this show. There you go.
We are all about lists.
If nothing else, that's a great reason to listen to the archive of today's show. So if you're listening to the archive, happy that you joined us here on the show today. Okay, let's hit NFL first, since that's the closest thing that went down. The Carolina Panthers, you buying it, 9-0. I don't know how they're doing it. How long can that last, Emil? And they're gonna run into the meat and potatoes of this thing, aren't they?
Yeah. For now, I have to say this. I'm looking around the NFC, and you have to buy it because if you really break down the NFC, like Sap said, Atlanta's showing you what they are right now. Okay, they're better than they were last year, but they're not a threat to Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle is not what Seattle was. They're in danger of missing the playoffs. Obviously, something's wrong in Green Bay. They've dropped three in a row, and you know, the Lions, 1-7, walked into Lambeau and won for the first time in a quarter century. So that tells you all you need to know about the Packers. So I look around the NFC and I say, okay, Carolina is a threat, I mean, to go to the Super Bowl. And the two teams that are, you know, we have to start taking seriously, obviously Arizona we took seriously last year, but they showed me something going to Seattle and winning. And, you know, the Vikings. I've got to start taking the Vikings seriously.
That's a big road win yesterday, which you wouldn't have said that in any of the last 5-6 years, talking about playing the Raiders. But the Raiders are a much-improved football team. And to go out on the road, travel all the way out west, and win in the fashion that they did better open some eyes. The Minnesota
Vikings.
Well,
we didn't think they would do it.
No, obviously
Did we
didn't because we picked the Raiders.
Right.
And they destroyed them. So, you know, it's going to be some unusual suspects in this race, I think, towards the end in the NFC this year. It's just certainly shaping up that way. Things are upside down, really, right now in the NFC.
I think you got to take, for me, as I look through at the whole body of work, the team I would say is my favorite right now to win the NFC is the Arizona Cardinals.
Are who? The Cardinals?
Cardinals, yeah.
Yeah,
they play some pretty good defense, and they can score.
I don't know if I like them traveling, man. I don't know that they could win a playoff game in Minnesota or win a playoff game in Carolina. If they could win some kind of home field advantage and get their games at home, I really, really like them. But I don't know about them traveling and win in road games. I just can't see it. My Minnesota, I think, can go travel anywhere and win a playoff game in the NFC. I don't know if Arizona can do the same. I'm just
well, Minnesota. Well, they might not have to play in Minnesota. In Carolina, it wouldn't be as big of an issue for them because, you know, I worry more about Arizona in weather than I do the actual travel itself. I mean, they've won at Seattle.
Well, they're neck
and
neck in this thing with Minnesota right now, both at 7-2 with a comparable conference record. You know, Arizona at 5-1.
But they play
Minnesota
at home in 4 weeks. They're going to play Minnesota on Sunday Night Football, December 10th, or Thursday Night Football. Yeah, it's a big game.
That game's going to mean a whole lot. I think it's going to mean more to Arizona than Minnesota. I could see Minnesota winning in Arizona, not vice versa. And you may have to agree with me on that.
No. I think
that
Minnesota
whole outdoor thing
trip
that Minnesota's got going on now, I think that's probably a good move for them now that they've got a playoff worthy team.
Smartest thing they've done in Minnesota was go back outside.
Yeah.
The more I look at that AFC, I admit this. I said this on a post last night. Going into that game last night, I was starting to think that maybe Cincinnati can win this AFC. I really did. And I know last night's only one game. But that tells me what I need to know about Cincinnati. If you get beat at home in that game 27-24, I'm okay. You just had an off night. When the Houston Texans come in and make you look ridiculous on offense, there's no way I see that team win. See, I'm sorry.
Well, Emily, yeah, listen, this is a runaway right now for the New England Patriots. But can we think of anyone that would have a chance to upset New England in New England because the playoffs are going through Foxborough?
Okay, well, let's
who do you give a chance?
I hate to ruin this for the fans and tell them where the season's going, but I think they already know this. Nobody in that AFC East is walking into New England and winning.
No.
Okay?
No.
You saw what Andy Dalton last night, what can happen to Andy Dalton. Okay? He can become Andy Dalton again, the guy we used to
know. If there's a threat in the AFC North, it's not Cincinnati. I think it's a team that's in second place right now, if they can get everyone healthy at the same time.
Yes, but
and it might
Bell
be the only
out,
threat
that's
in the
a big
entire
deal.
Might be the only threat in the entire AFC, Emil, if you ask me. If it Pittsburgh can get all the horses.
It certainly is. The Denver Broncos are not going to New England with the way Peyton Manning's throwing a football and winning a game in cold weather.
No, sir.
They just aren't.
If he can't feel the ball in his hand in September, he'll be throwing cotton candy in New England in January. So we can forget that. The Chiefs, absolutely not. And everyone else has losing records, Emil. Listen to what we just said here. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, no to Denver. Everyone else has a losing record. That's your AFC right now.
The AFC is pathetic. There's three teams in the East that the Bills and Jets are 5-4. So there's three winning records: Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Denver. That's it. You've got 10 teams in the AFC with losing records out of 16.
That's amazing. So
it's
this just really looks like a runaway. The AFC's boring right now. All we can pray and hope for is that Pittsburgh can get everyone back
healthy.
By
the way, it's no better in the NFC. In the NFC, the Giants lead a division with a 500 record. You have the Vikings and Packers with winning records, the Panthers, Falcons, and Cardinals. You have five teams with a winning record and one team at 500. So basically, we've got 20 out of 32.
Yeah, I know it. At least you have this feeling in the NFC that there's not that one team like New England. Yes, Carolina's undefeated, but there's a part of your brain, I don't care who you are, that says they couldn't possibly keep this up. Though the schedule is favorable, you just don't think of Carolina as New England. Can we agree on that? You just don't think of them
the same. Absolutely. No, not even close.
Yeah, so that AFC is just really a boring deal right now. All we can hope for is that that Pittsburgh gets all their guys back, minus Le'Veon Bell, who's gone for the year, but just try and get everyone back and healthy and just make that thing a little bit interesting. What is it, though, about the New York Giants? It's a shame we can't slide them over to the AFC just for this one season, because they seem to be the only one that can make New England fear loss. What is it that makes them play them so well?
I just think that, you know, they have a formula, Coughlin on down, and they haven't figured out a little bit how to play him. Sometimes it's just like anything, styles, coaching, some just in boxing. Some boxers.
Well, you have two guys there that were
up
on the same coaching staff for the Giants, so maybe there's something Coughlin observed about Belichick over the years that gives him some kind of edge, perhaps. Who knows? But
it has to be something like that, because the Giants don't play defense like that against anyone else anymore.
Right. So apparently, he knows something somewhere, somehow. But even with all that, the damn Patriots escape out of that game with a win. And we did talk about clock management when we had Sapp on here. The Giants, just get that right, for crying out loud. Come on, man. Fix that. That's cost you two football games here already.
But let me say one other thing at the end of that game, and you know, I know fans will say, oh, but you can't play it like that. I swear, watching the game, my son-in-law was a Giant fan. I said this, and he agreed with me. When the Giants were down one with two-something left in the game and they had first and goal, I said they need to play this set of downs as if they need a touchdown. That's really how I felt they needed to play it. Yeah. I said, if you score here, even if you manage the clock correctly and you leave them a minute left, I had a feeling no matter what, Brady's going to get them in position to try a field goal. So I said, you've got to play this like you need a touchdown and that you're down four, not three. Because
No doubt about it. You had to know the whole field goal thing wasn't going to get the job done for you. You just had to know that. And so I guess the Giants just took what they had at that point and prayed and hoped, and, you know, those prayers weren't answered because the Patriots went down there and got the victory and improved themselves to 9-0, and it really looks like this team could go undefeated for the regular season. So, yeah, you Miami Dolphin old-timer fans down here that toast every year, you're going to have to hold, it looks like, a little while.
I don't see, you know, I'm looking at their schedule. It's hard to find that, you know, obviously you don't know where the loss comes from. I would say the only one that maybe at Denver, if Denver's defense just stepped up and, you know, played an incredible game, maybe. But, you know, the rest of the schedule, they finish up, I guess, at the Jets and Dolphins, so I guess it's possible somebody could catch them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's going to be hard.
I don't think Denver is going to be that. Maybe, you know, maybe if Denver can do, you know, what they did against Aaron Rodgers, get up there, get physical, knock some guys off of some routes and get some pressure, perhaps. Perhaps. I just wonder what Denver would do on
the other
side. And
don't forget, Edelman's out now, right?
Yes, he is. He is, but it's plug and play in that offense. It just really upsets everyone. Bob, you know, Edelman, losing him after losing the Lewis kid, you know, that is a big problem for them. So, Brandon LaFell, come on down. He's going to have to step up now and start taking.
You
want to
talk about our
load.
Crappy NFL picks?
Yeah, why don't we jump into that? And I'm glad I didn't pick the Packers, cuz that would have just made the Sunday all the more uglier. But hey, let me jump into what I did. We'll run through it real quick. I took the St. Louis Rams cuz foolishly I believed in them. But I can't believe in a team. I shouldn't be believing in a team that just has never been able to get that quarterback situation right. The fact that you can't get the quarterback situation right means that I just shouldn't be putting trust in you anyway. And it has come down and it has been announced about 3-4 weeks too late that the Rams are going to sit Nick Foles in favor of my guy Case Keenum, a guy I've been begging to get a legit shot in this league ever since he came in it. Case Keenum's going to get his chance here, and it would be great to see Keenum do something for these Rams, and you know, maybe they get hot and they can go 6-1 here. That'd be awesome. You know,
yeah.
Be
can I be
really,
honest
really...
with you? I'd feel better if they announced Vince Scaramucci
or
Pat Hayden. Okay, so
yeah, I think the guy deserves a shot. I took Oakland because it made sense, and it still makes sense. It just didn't happen. I'm not even going to beat myself up over this. That's a game Oakland should have won. It's a game Oakland should have covered, and it just didn't happen. In a big way, it didn't happen. Minnesota went out there and flexed some muscle, and for folks who thought Minnesota might have been a fluke, that should tell you otherwise, because that's a big win. That's a strong win, and it was much to my chagrin.
Yeah,
and then the
very
whole Denver thing
for the Vikings. Yep.
Yeah, the Denver thing, that's another one that I thought really should have went the way that I said it should have gone. So, you know, who could forecast Peyton throwing four interceptions and being the irony of him being sat in favor of the guy that he stiffed last year in Oakland when the kid went to go get his helmet. It's just too funny for me. So, yeah, I took the collar on my NFL picks going 0-3. Where does that put me?
11-16 and a couple pushes.
Beautiful. There we go.
Well, you still beat me in the NFL. I did win a game in the NFL, folks. I did. Okay, so here we go. Yeah, I took Oakland with Chad, and again, I felt like I was on the right side of that game, but it didn't work out. You know, the Vikings are better than most people thought they were, and that was a good win, so I'll take my loss there. New England, I just felt really good. I mean, I know the Giants play them tough, but I watched the Giants' defense all season. I didn't see how they were going to shut New England down, and they held them in check most of the afternoon. I mean, New England got a big play in the kick game to generate some points, and they were never going to cover at 7. That was a bad pick. And my only winner of the weekend was the Miami Dolphins as a 6-point underdog, getting an outright win in Philadelphia. I just had a feeling.
How about them Dolphins, man? And you know what? Even that looked ugly for a little minute there.
Well, but then Mark Sanchez came to the rescue, and down in the red zone inside the 10-yard line, down by one, he threw the pick with 4 minutes left in the game, and I said, there, that's the Sanchez I know and love. And the Dolphins got the win, so they obviously covered. I was 1-2. My pro record, and I can't wait to get to college because I hate saying the pro record, 9 wins, 19 losses, and a couple pushes.
Yeah, you're killing it too. I don't even know what to say about that. Things that just seem so obvious just seem
We've
so
never,
wrong.
We've never, ever
Come
been
Monday.
This bad in pros. We've never been this
no.
bad in pros. Ever.
No, so, yeah, there you go. Parity in the NFL. Parity fever. Catch it. All right, flipping over to college football. We got to run through these things real quick because we're running a little long here. But Alabama, I guess we do need to buy that. We do need to go ahead and buy that. I'm telling you that right now. Alabama is looking like a complete and total monster, and they're doing it without big-time quarterback play. But they have a beast in the backfield, and their front seven right now is just absolutely unstoppable. I did not think that they would be able to hold Dak Prescott in check the way that they did. And that's a great job
by
Alabama.
For real. I mean, but I will say this. I think Alabama, you know, if there's a team out there on the remainder of the schedule that could give them problems, I do think it's your Gators there. I think Alabama's one of those teams where you can get them into a defensive game. Now, Florida's obviously not going to put up a ton of points in a game against Alabama. You wouldn't expect them to, let's put it that way. But that's one of those
no,
games where
No, it
get
will
them
take in. Some creativity on Florida's offense to make that happen, no question about it. It won't be
yes,
status
but you,
quo.
You
These
can get them into a
running.
Game like Tennessee got them into, where it's a 14-13, 13-10 type game. Because Alabama's offense is no juggernaut.
No, it's
it
not.
Really is.
No, it's not. Unless they get the big guy going. If you can't stop the big guy back there, then everything opens up. And, you know, that's just, you know, job number one when you're facing Alabama, stop Derrick Henry from going wild. So, definitely impressive. And I don't know that they aren't really the number one team in the country right now, but you can't take that away from Clemson, who is went out and, you know, fought. I knew that game against Syracuse was going to be a tough one. And, you know, there's a game I probably should have taken. I didn't win any of my college football games. But the moment I saw Clemson sitting up there at 4 touchdown favorites, which ended up at 30, I should have went with Syracuse. Because
That was a tough spot game. To ask Clemson to do that. I mean, that was unreal.
Yeah, absolutely. But they came away with the win. And in years past, that might have been a game where Clemson fell on their face and took a loss. You know, Florida State didn't start off too well against NC State. Looked like they were going to drop back-to-back football games. But kudos to them coming back, winning a game 34-17. They got a little bit of – is there a quarterback controversy at Florida State, though? The poor kid comes over from Notre Dame and loses the job. What are your thoughts on that?
You know what, though? Let's be honest. His last year at Notre Dame, he was a disaster. He was a turnover machine.
He was. You would like to think, though, a change of address, you know, change of result. And at early on, it was going okay. He wasn't killing it, but they were winning games. And now it's full-fledged. It looks like he's out of there, and Sean McGuire is going to be the guy for Florida State.
Well, Florida State's had a better season. They've had a better season than I expected them to have. I mean, they're sitting there with
a
good season.
They won some games. Yeah, they won some games. Yeah. I didn't expect them to win. So, you know, they're not in the playoff race. I think that's might be a bad deal for them come bowl time because you lose that motivation when you're not in the thick of things anymore. That's going to be something to keep an eye on. UCLA doing UCLA-type things late on Saturday night. Go out and at home lose to Washington State. You surprised, Emil? This is like a real UCLA move right there.
Yeah, especially after they took the lead. Rosen scrambles 37 yards. I didn't think he had that in him. I didn't know that. But he went 37 yards, gives UCLA a 27-24 lead with a couple of minutes left. So I'm figuring they're gonna get this win at home. And Washington goes down and scores with 3 seconds left and beats them. Here's what's funny with that. I don't know if you knew this. The game had no bearing for UCLA in terms of winning their division. If UCLA wins their last two games against at Utah and at USC, which, by the way, will be a tough task, but if they're the Pac-12 South champion.
Isn't that something? That's good. That's ugly for the conference, to be honest with you. It really is.
If they do that. Now, USC wins against Oregon and UCLA. USC is the Pac-12 South champion.
Yeah, well, something for us to behold there. Doesn't this, though, like for the conference, really need to be Utah? Doesn't it?
Well, I don't know. Does it need to be
Doesn't
Utah?
Doesn't it need to be Utah
record?
Versus Stanford?
They have the same record in the division as USC and lost by 18 points to them.
Yeah, just kind of where Utah's been, though, this year. They were in the talk. They were in the thick of things. That's what people remember, and it would just, I think, for the conference, be a better deal if it's Utah and Stanford. You know what I mean?
Well, I think if you got a 9-3 USC team playing a 10-2 Stanford team, you'd have a hell of a Pac-12 championship game.
Perhaps. I'm just saying for the perception of the conference, and I know you're a USC guy, so I get it. But
no, I understand
USC's
what you're
playing,
saying.
They've got an interim coach. You know, that never speaks well. So.
Yeah.
Them finding
I just don't think Utah has any name cachet. You know what I'm saying? Like when you say Utah to most people in the East, yeah, nobody cares
about
Utah.
How about the Hogs strolling into Baton Rouge on Saturday night and totally pimp slapping LSU? What has happened to the Tigers? Did they gear their whole season up for the Alabama game and like it's over?
I think they did. Yeah, I think they did. And I'll tell you something else.
You can't do that in that conference. You just can't.
Poor Brett Bielema though. He just can't help himself.
Stop doing the post.
Did you hear what he said after the game? He goes, I was so glad the final stayed at 31-14 because I didn't want people who didn't watch the game not to understand what a thumping it was.
He's turned into like a circus. The week before it was, I can't wait to get on my wife or something like that. And then a couple weeks before that, he did the fake fall out on the ground. It's like, come, Brad, pull it together. Start by shaving because you look like a mess in the post-game interview anyway.
Yeah, he's at Arkansas. I mean, you did fight back, and you're putting together what could be a decent season here. You're 6-4. You got a couple ball games left. You know, before you start opening your pie hole, let's at least get to 8-4 and get in a decent bowl game. I mean, hell, if you could lose your last two games, you'll be 6-6 looking for a job maybe. I mean, shut up.
He was happy, though. He was happy. He went in there and thumped these guys. This is a team that beat Florida who's going to the championship game. So there's a little bit of, you know, feeling a little puff in the chest and just wanted everyone to know about it. I guess when you're at Arkansas, you got to find some kind of way to get attention, and he's been doing that with as much with what he says after the games as with anything being done on the field. Oklahoma and Baylor, 44-34, Sooners win. How'd they get it done, Emil? Because if you watch the last two – which I happen to have done. The last two meetings between these two teams, Oklahoma seemed so far away. What'd you observe?
They did. And you know what surprised me? I let past history influence my not taking Oklahoma here. I looked at those last two games, what Baylor did to them, and just absolutely destroyed them. And I didn't believe what my eyes were telling me. And my eyes are telling me that Oklahoma has been playing defense this year. They're only giving
how about
up.
That?
Under 20 points a game, and I should have taken that into account, but I didn't. I mean, you look at Oklahoma. I mean, other than that blip against Tulsa, where they gave up 38 points and beat them 52-38, they've been solid on defense all season. Mm-hmm. Really solid, actually.
Yeah, which makes you feel good about their chances going forward of finishing this thing out really, really strong.
Yeah, I think you got to start taking Oklahoma. I honestly do not think that Oklahoma State will beat Oklahoma. But that's a rivalry game, so that doesn't mean anything what I think. Anything can happen. But, the way I see these teams playing right now, you know, Oklahoma is playing great on offense. You could see their scores. I mean, they're scoring 40, 50, 60 points their last four or five games. They're stopping people on defense. I think they're a more complete team than Oklahoma State. But, again, they'll get a chance to play and prove me wrong, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last game I want to talk about before we get into my dreadful picks and your good picks is Oregon Stanford. Stanford, how do you let Oregon do this to you? For years you had the shoe on the other foot. Oregon was running, you know, headlong into big things, championships, conference championships, national championships, and you, Stanford, you, Cardinal, you were the one to ruin it for the Ducks, and here they are, and this has to be so satisfying for Oregon, having suffered so much pain at the hands of Stanford, to be the ones to come in here and just really dust up their college football playoff hopes.
Yeah, it was a big win for Oregon. Now, I'm going to be, obviously, as a USC fan, be real curious. I think that's a good ball game Saturday now with USC and Oregon, but I'm curious to see how Oregon follows that up, because usually a team like a win like that on the road, against a team like Stanford will take something out of a team like Oregon. I mean, they've made a lot out of their four wins in a row, but, you know, in there they beat Washington, who they've beaten perennially. They have that triple overtime win with Arizona State, 61-55. I mean, I'm not sure. We'll see on Saturday. I mean, is Oregon back, or was this just they caught Stanford flat-footed? Like I said, Stanford did some un-Stanford-like things. They rolled up 500 yards of offense, but turned the ball over three times. That's usually not Stanford. So
yeah, turnovers will do it to you. Turnovers will do it to you every time, and it did it to these guys. And Oregon got a chance to wear that hat, and they wore it well and messed things up for Stanford. All right, let's talk about the picks. Since mine were ugly, normally you go first. Since mine were a complete, total, resident of the toilet bowl, I'll go first and get that out of the way so we can end this show on a good note. I went with Rutgers, put my trust in them boys from New Jersey against Nebraska. I think I officially need to stop picking Nebraska games this year, whether I pick them or pick against them. I've had success only one time this year with a Nebraska football game, so I think I'm done with Cornhusker football games. I'll just scroll past that week after week. So didn't get that one right at all, as Nebraska suddenly wants to start playing like they're coached by Bo Pelini. And they go out and they beat the pants off of Rutgers, so that was not a good deal, not a good result for me there. Went with Utah, thought they would get some matter of revenge against an Arizona team that completely punched them all in the face last year. It shows Arizona just really does things to Utah that they can't deal with. It was a closer game this year, but at the end, Utah, the favorite, lost the football game straight up, which was, you know, another loss for me. As I went with Utah,
you had a chance though. That game went overtime, and obviously, if you get the ball and score, and you hold them, you can win that. You can win that one for yourself. But not, I'm sure it wasn't the way you envisioned winning it. So
no, not at all. Nor was the next game. I thought Washington would have a better showing in their game against Arizona State. And listen, I thought I had a bead on the Pac-12 this year. Started having some really good success there, and then we have a weekend like this where nothing, I mean nothing, made any sense. Washington State beating UCLA, Oregon beating Stanford. The games that I picked, none of it at all made sense, and with two picks out of that conference, I just stood to reason that I wasn't going to do well this week, and I definitely didn't do well. Went 0-3, so where do I stand in college football?
You still got a great record in college. You're at 20 wins, 13 losses, and you know, if you're not good at math, that's over 60%. So yeah, you had a bad week. You were due statistically. You know how that goes. It's tough to pick much above 66. If you get 60-62%, you're killing it, and you were at 67%, so you were kind of just due to come back a little to the pack.
Yeah, regressing to the mean, I guess.
Yeah,
but,
so 20
so
and 13.
You helped us out, though. You helped us out, no doubt.
Yeah, I started off with Washington State. I took those 10.5 points against UCLA, and I'll be honest, I wasn't sure they could win the game outright, but I just did not see UCLA drilling Washington State. UCLA's defense has been giving up a lot of points and yards this year, and that doesn't bode well if you want to cover 10.5 points. So I took the 10.5. I got the outright win by the Cougs there, so that was one. I took Indiana plus 13.5. You know, I figured they'd do what Indiana does and what all losing programs do when they're home like this. They play a good team, really tough, really tight, and then they figure out a way to lose. Indiana,
and that's what
was,
you said, and that's exactly how that game went.
Yeah, they were within 5 yards of winning the game outright, 31-24. Michigan on a 4th-and-goal from the 5, last play of the game, ties it, sends it to overtime, beats Indiana, doesn't get anywhere near covering the 13.5-point spread, so I get the win there. And then finally, you know, I took Purdue plus 15.5. Listen, Purdue's a bad team. They're 2-8 now. But you're asking Northwestern, who is a defensive-minded ball club, to cover 15.5 points in a sandwich game between a big win over Penn State and a road game at Wisconsin. That's a lot to ask a team like Northwestern, and they didn't come anywhere close. They won 21-14. Purdue was an easy win, never outside the number. They were in that ball game all afternoon. So 3-0. I pushed my record to 20-13, so we're dead tied in college. And by the way, we're both killing college. We're killing college.
We are killing college. We need to kill college the way we're absolutely getting killed in the NFL. But nevertheless, you salvaged the weekend as your boy here. I just didn't show up. I was on vacation literally
you'll
and literally.
Yes.
Yeah, you know,
you'll
I'm statistically, I'm due to bounce back in a big way this week, so hang in there, folks.
I shall
make my return. I should start breathing like Darth Vader and the whole Empire Strikes Back type deal. Nevertheless, we've come to the end. Another great show, man. Sat provided us with some comic relief and some, as the segment says, some straight talk, so we got that out of the way. We tackled all of the major issues that were out there, not only on the gridiron, but also in the octagon. As we managed to hit some female MMA here on the show today. So we're all service, complete service.
Yeah, we touched everything. We even got Floyd into the conversation today.
Yeah, didn't we manage to do that? All right, so it's a regular schedule. I didn't have the recruiting roundtable show last week. I will definitely have one tomorrow, so be on tune for that. I will have the Thursday show, and then Emil rejoins me on Fridays. We do the Football Friday show, and as always, we'd like to thank you folks for listening. If you love the Gridiron Stud show, continue to listen and bring a friend, because the more the merrier. For Emil Calamino, I'm Chad Wilson. Thanks for listening to the Gridiron Stud show. Enjoy the rest of your day.
To all you high school recruits out there, you want to get recruited by the colleges? Step up and visit GridironStuds.com today. We got college coaches visiting. We've got people visiting. We've got fans visiting. If you want to be seen, get your video up there right now. It's easy. Create a profile. Takes 2 minutes. Stop playing games. Get off of Facebook. Take control of your future. GridironStuds.com is where you need to be today. Visit now. Set your profile up and let yourself be seen.